John chapter 7, verse 12 is where we're starting here. And we're looking to where Jesus was amongst the crowd, but they didn't know it was him. And they said that what some of the people were saying, you know, he's a good man, because they didn't know he was there. They were looking for him. Some of them said that he was a good man in verse 12. He's a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So here's Jesus. He's amongst the crowd, right? And I'm sure he's not making a big scene. He's who he is. Okay, here we are amongst the crowd, amongst the ball players, amongst the concert goers, amongst the school people, amongst your job, the whole thing. All these people were trying to make friends. We're trying to act to it. We're trying to act verse chapter 2 by becoming, you know, everybody likes us. Everybody will like us. They'll come to our church now. Or they'll come and listen to me. That kind of baloney. And we got to keep our kids busy. We got to keep them happy, so we can go out in this community and we can do things, and that's okay. Because Paul doesn't tell us that it's okay. He tells us to, stay away, not to partake in the works of darkness, and he tells us to avoid certain people and withdraw from. And I'm hearing more and more justifying and excuses why we're doing stuff like that. Well, we want to try to let the people know we're normal. You know what? We aren't normal. We aren't normal people. We understand a Bible. We follow a Bible. We follow a book. We're not like everybody else. I'm not saying that pridefully. We should be able to be, if we're amongst them, we're amongst them. That's fine, whatever. But I find people purposely going back, and they're accepting. And I want to ask you a couple of questions here in a minute here. So we see that even these people, here's Jesus. Yeah, he's a good man, but you know what? He's deceiving us. He's tricking us. Yeah, people say to you, yeah, there's a good person. Good to see him back, or it's good to see him here, and glad you're here, but we know that you're different. We know that you believe what you believe, and you're weird. That you're trying to deceive us. You make us think that we're friendly with us, and we know you're not. They know this. The world out there understands that we don't, I mean, they're better than we are. They don't believe what we believe. They don't really want you to be part of their thing, even though they're happy that you're there and all that stuff. But they know, to them, you're trying to deceive them. You see what I'm saying here? We may go out there, and we may think that we're fitting in, but come on. We are not fitting in. We're not supposed to fit in. We can be amongst it, but we don't need to partake in it. And you'll see this, why I'm going this direction. I've got like 30 minutes for the Western crowd, so we'll get it into this morning. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Here's my question. While we are all out there, while I'm at school with kids and teachers' meetings and hearing the stuff I'm hearing, I'm taking some courses that are just philosophical or psychology garbage in some ways. It has to be done. They're not going to teach me anything. I'm going to write my reports back, and it's going to have some scriptures in there. And I'm looking forward to trying to have them teach me something. I'm trying to pay attention with my Bible. I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. I'm not going to just roll over and let them teach me a bunch of junk. I'm not going to, anyway. So we see in Acts chapter 17, here's what I want to ask you this morning. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Here's Paul. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Here's my question, us community mixers and us people out in the world, we're not hiding in Alaska, we're actually out trying to be with people. Here's my question. Does it bother you that you see who you see and you see what you see? When we go out there and we try to mix in with the community, mix in with the crowd, mix in with the relatives, mix in with anybody we're around, fine. But does it bother you? Does your spirit get stirred like Paul's? He says when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Does it bother you to see what you see? Are you just friendly with everybody and it doesn't bother you anymore that they are probably lost? If they say they're Christians, you know they're caught up in the wrong Bible. You know they probably have another Jesus. You know they don't understand any rightly divided. You know that stuff. Does it stir you up? Does it bother you at all? Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 50. I'm hearing more and more people. Like I say, they're out there. And I don't hear anybody say, oh, it's sad that they don't believe. It's sad that they don't understand. Or I try to talk to them, they get angry. So here's my point. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. And I got four other verses on here. Look at 14:2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Here comes that guy with his lawnmower. Boy, I tell you what, everything in the world is just distracting this whole thing. Okay, Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 13. It says here, "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." Look at 21:27. "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him." So here's Paul coming into these people, around these people, and they get stirred. But so we know when we show up someplace, why don't they get stirred? Have we backed up enough? Have we shut our mouths up enough? Have we changed our ways so much that they don't even get stirred that you're there? Not that you have to go there and make a scene and do the preaching thing. You know, I'm not talking like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your presence. Has your testimony been such that they know that you are a King James only person? They know that you're a Paul follower. They probably should be able to tell by looking at you, by your appearance, by your behavior, by you're not wild and crazy, you're cheering the kids on, or you're doing the music thing, or you're participating in school like I do, and you're there and you're friendly. I'm not saying that. Have you been there long enough in that community? Like, I haven't been here long enough yet, but you've got people who've been around for 5, 10 years. Do they know there's a change in life? Sure they do. So why don't they get stirred when you show up? Maybe they do. But if they don't get stirred, something's not right here. But my question is the other way around. Do we get stirred when we see what we see? Do we get stirred when we hear the music that we hear? Or are we just comfortable with it anymore? Do we get stirred when we know these people are reading different Bibles, if they're reading Bibles at all? Okay, now I'm not saying to make a scene. I'm just asking, does that bother you? You see people dressed the way they're dressed. Okay, I know you get up, you know, I know people get mad about, well, they're showing too much skin and stuff like this. But does it bother you for their sake? Or do you want to back off on your presentation, your testimony, so you don't stir them up so much? I think what's going on here is I think we get tired of people being stirred. When we show up with our modest clothing, we don't do what they do. We say we're not going to do that. We don't watch the movie. We get up from it or something. Or I go to the school. We don't do the rock music. You know, all the different things. We don't do that. And so they get stirred, and we are tired of stirring them. So we back off. Well, Paul doesn't do that. Sure, there's wisdom and there's things to talk about. All I'm saying is, do we get stirred? He says his spirit got stirred in him. Acts 18, verse 5. Look at Acts 18. It says it in a different way, which I think is really good. "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and they went after him." So, why is it that we are more and more willing to partake in the works of darkness today? Why are we more and more willing to not avoid who we should avoid, not withdraw from who we're supposed to withdraw from, and we're having company with who we shouldn't be having company with? Doesn't mean that you're not around them. But I'm seeing a frustration that we have, that we're stirring the people. Folks, we're supposed to stir the people. Not on purpose, not like these mouthy people. I'm just saying, our presence, our testimony, again, here we go. You're modest, you're quieter, you don't do the things they do. Go through the list in Titus, men, sober. We're not just out there telling dirty jokes and all that kind of stuff. All that sound doctrine that Paul teaches. If we exhibit that in our lives, we are going to stir people up. You just walk into a room, ladies, walk into a room, men, and these things that take place in your testimony, somebody's going to get stirred. So don't think you're going to win these people by trying to be friendly. Jesus was amongst the crowd, and he heard what he heard. Some said that he was a good guy, and the other said, yeah, but he's deceiving us. And they'll say that about you. Yeah, here she is, or here he is, but we know they still go to that church. They still do this. They still believe that. They still Paul people, or they're not going to church anywhere. They know that stuff, and it stirs them. It's sad, is it stirs them more than we are stirred with what we see out there. It bothers me greatly to have these 40, 50, 100 kids or whatever I've got here in these smaller schools here to know their family background. It's terrible. and the teachers here just go on teaching. I just want to say, doesn't it? I mean, I know we don't like it, but does it bother you? I mean, it's really hard to see these little kids living the lives they're living. I got these older kids. It bothers me that I know that they're in the junk that they're in. So it bothers me to know what's going on in my former church people. It bothers me what goes on in my church people back in Las Vegas still. I know they've been lied to. I know they have been deceived. So what's happening? Yeah, we know that we're in an apostasy time. We know that we're falling down. We know that there's that falling away. Matt Live in the news yesterday just said Obama is just, he spoke that he wants a new world order, an international order to help solve this terrorism stuff. And did anybody react to that thing? Other than the world, you know. I mean, he's actually, it's in the press. It's in, and the press has, have you noticed in the news at all? That Obama's not even talking to the press, and he's kept the press out of a lot of his meetings, and now he says he wants to present his own press corps, his own. Do people not see this? Do they not care? We know that we sing the song, Jesus Cares. And we know that Paul cared. Paul had tears, he was suffered, he was persecuted, he suffered tremendous punishments. He cared, he could have left, but he didn't. He'd rather stay here and help for our sake. So Paul cared. And my question is, as we are around the people we're around, family, relatives, workers, whatever, have we become so cold that we don't care anymore? Is that how we deal with this? Are we so tired of them being stirred that we're the ones that are backing off? When you put on those clothes that are modest, you walk around, I don't say pridefully, but I'm saying you're right. You know what? It's okay in this politically correct, stupid world, it's okay to be right and them be wrong. But does it bother you that they're wrong? Is there some way that you want to... I'm not saying how to go about talking to them. I'm not saying anything like that this morning. I'm just challenging us. Are we stirred in the Spirit? Are we pressed in the Spirit? Is our spirit... Do we get challenged over this stuff? So, and now let's remind ourselves. This whole thing was about remembrance. Remember last week, remembrance? I'm going to help you remember things. We've got to remember one thing here. That yes, there is an apostasy. We know that the trend is to play. It's fun. We know that. The fun is flesh. It's like a feeding frenzy of sharks in a water full of blood and meat. Everybody's just wanting to have fun. You're tired of having the people stirred around you, so you don't have any fun. And when they're doing what they're doing and you're not going to do what they're doing, you're not having any fun. We're being pushed towards fun. Play, which is flesh, and we realize that as we get closer and closer to the tribulation, then these three words come up in the Bible: lasciviousness, incontinent, and concupiscence. And they all are generally saying that we are lusting for flesh. We're past feeling. There's looseness, irregular indulgences of animal behavior, animal desires. You know, with this evolution thing, we're going back to like being animals. Nobody cares that we got different men and women are different. That's just animals. They don't care. Well, we're humans. We're civilized. There is a difference. There are things we should be doing and not doing as a man, as a Christian. Our eating manners are, I need to go down the line. We're just all becoming animalistic. Look at how we dress. We're just sloppy. We can care less anymore. Where's the lady? Where's the gentleman? I mean, there's male and female, there's guys and ladies. Of course, they all call them guys today. Guys and men and women are called guys. Boys and girls, all called guys. I try so hard not to do that at the school. I try to separate the boys and the girls. I have the boys do the work and stuff, and it frustrates the girls, but they're just little seeds, I suppose. Incontinent. No restraint of passions. Concupiscence. Coveting of carnal things. Irregular appetite for worldly good, coveting. We just want stuff, looseness, past feeling. This is where we're headed. So when we're being tricked and deceived here, we're being tricked and deceived to the flesh. The trend obviously is toward the Antichrist, the New World Government, New World Order, the New World Religion, all going to take place. We see these things. Does it bother anybody? You know, Timothy talks about the fact that the physical versus the spiritual. You know, the bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness has an eternal value to it. So, yeah, why are we so concerned about this physical, this bodily exercise, this physical life, this fleshly life that we're, something's happening to us. And here's an example, a music example. I've noticed just about everywhere now that when teachers are teaching music, they're playing the CDs. The kids are learning to sing along with CDs. Well, they sing better, but are you teaching them anything about singing? No. I'm just not going to do that. And the kids aren't going to have as much fun, because who has fun learning to sing? Who has fun? The whole school is performance oriented. Your math, somehow you need to be able to perform something to show people that you're learning something. The whole school is performance oriented. It just amazes me what I've seen since I've been back in the schooling thing. So we're very fleshly. We're being led to the flesh here, and we don't realize it, because if we've lost our care for other people on a truth basis or a spiritual basis, then something's happening to us. When we don't talk to people anymore about anything, if we don't try to show anything in how we appear or whatever, are we backing off? Are we slipping backwards? Then we're being deceived, and something's happening to us here. So, you know, does it bother you that people go to the churches they go to? I'm not saying judgmental, being pridefully arrogant. I'm not talking about that. Does it bother you when you see your relatives and you know when they die they're going to go to hell? You know that. If they got a Lutheran testimony or a Methodist or a church thing or no church thing, or even the Baptist crowd anymore, you sit there and you think, I wonder if they have another Jesus. I wonder if they're going to be with that crowd that when they get there, they're going to find out they really weren't saved. Does that bother anybody? How about when you see people do what they do? Now, it irritates me because it's, you know, the kind of thing. But it is, do you think of that person? They don't know any better. They're blind. Does it bother you when you see a blind person? Does it just irritate you? No, it bothers me. A long time ago in college, I visited a blind friend in my college dorm, and I walked into his room, and his room was dark. And it just clicked. Well, yeah, the guy doesn't have to turn on his lights. And I suddenly felt for the guy. So do we do that with other people? Is our public testimony how we act and we behave? Is it... does it bother you when it isn't what it should be? How about your look, your appearance? How about you, whether what you're doing is right or wrong? Paul people can be just as guilty as when you're around a Paul person. Maybe they haven't grown as much. Maybe they're in rebellion. But does it stir your spirit? Are you pressed in the spirit like Paul says there? You see people being immodest. You see them being worldly. You see them being sexual. You see them being flirty. You see the temptation that's there. You know their family life. You know what's going on here. These are some tough times. What's happening to us? What's happening to us all? One thing, I think people don't believe in the judgment seat of Christ. And when they talk about not believing the rapture, that's not an issue. I don't think they believe in the judgment seat of Christ anymore. They don't know. They don't believe that their works are going to be tested. Or are we just kind of forgetting about it? Well, whatever. That's my talk this morning. What's happening to us? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I want to read something to you this morning that I've read over and over and over, and it really, really says a lot, as the scriptures do. Galatians chapter 5, because this is happening to us little by little by little. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay, that's a good verse here. He says here, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, isn't that a terrible position to be in? Christ profiting those people nothing? Now, we realize that the King James Bible is Christ as such, okay? And I'm going to read this a little bit. I'm not changing. I'm just going to try to apply it to us here. "Behold, I, Paul," the parts of the Bible that are Paul, "saying to you that if ye be gospel oriented or Old Testament oriented or denomination oriented or whatever your little game is, Christ shall profit you nothing." This Bible means nothing to you. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." So there's something to pop on somebody. Oh, so you're going to follow Jesus' teaching if you follow them all? Because he's following the law. So if Jesus followed the law and you want to follow Jesus, are you following the law? You need to follow it all. All of it, as he did. Then it says in verse 4, "Christ is become of no effect unto you." That Bible means nothing to you anymore. Christ means nothing to you anymore. What's happening? How's this happening? For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Go down to verse 7. Here we go. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? I mean, what's in your life? Who's in your life that's keeping you from doing right now? That's caused you to go backwards. Who is it that got you involved in the community? Who is it that got you involved with this activity? Who is it that got you involved with the TV, the video, the games, the events in town that you shouldn't be going to because of the music and your testimony for the kids? And you know, all sorts of different ifs in there. Who is it? Who is this person? What Christ is saying here, what Paul is saying here, that if you guys are going to go out there and claim the circumcision, then Christ is of no effect to you. That Bible is no of effect. I got a list of things here. That if you're trying to follow the Gospels, if you're trying to follow Acts chapter 2 and win the community and all this kind of junk, there is no profit in it, like he says in verse 2 there. There's no profit. There's no power in that in the Gospels. There's no peace. There's no prayer results. There's no proper pastor preaching the proper thing. You're going down the wrong path. What? Do we lose everything again? No, Bob Revis is calling. I can't take it now, Bob. And wrong pattern for life. We use a Bible. You believe your Bible is not perfect. You are partaking of the perverse people in a nation. You are following pleasures. You are seeking your own praise. You proclaim a false gospel. You are following profane babblings. You are claiming false promises. You are seeking financial prosperity as a basis of your godliness. You're prideful. You can't prove any doctrine. You will not be prudent. You won't be able to foresee evil coming. And you don't believe the Bible is pure and perfect. What a mess people are in. If you're going to follow the law, you got to follow it all. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. You want to follow the Gospels, you've got to follow the Beatitudes. So, that Bible is becoming no effect. Now, why am I talking like this? Well, because what's happening? Who's hindering us? Who's causing us to go back? Who's causing us to suddenly think that we should be acceptable in the community? We should never fit in. If you're fitting into the community, if I fit into the school, for example, as comfortable as everybody else, I'm doing something wrong. I haven't said anything to anybody. I'm just maintaining my standards as a Christian. That says enough. But there's something in verse 9. Look at verse 9 here, where it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay, that leaven thing, I've thought about that for a long time, because leaven just takes forever. And it finally gets it all. Now, here's a definition of leaven. I thought this is kind of interesting here. Is a number of substances used in doughs and batters that cause a foaming action which lightens and softens the finished product. So he uses leaven to show us that, you know, this stuff's going to get into our lives and it's going to lighten us and soften what we are. We're being softened. We're tired of people being stirred by what you believe. You're trying to be nice to them, all that kind of stuff. You want them to come to church and all this kind of stuff. You're not going to not stir them. So, there's leavening that's going to take place, and it's going to soften you. The leavening agent incorporates gas bubbles into the dough. This may be air incorporated by mechanical means, but is usually carbon dioxide. So, it reacts with moisture. So, something comes into our lives, this worldly gas bubble comes into our lives, and it causes a reaction. Because we have the living water, we have Christ, we have a Bible, the living Word. We have that in us, and it reacts with that. When a dough or batter is mixed, the starch in the flour mixes with the water in the dough to form a matrix, then gelatinizes and sets. Now, does that make sense at all? This leaven gets into this material, and it just softens and lightens, and it expands. And I call this a fluffy Christian. He's full of leaven. He's just softening, softening, and softening, and softening. You know, the King James Bible only is a hard stand to take. And either you take it or you don't. You can't wishy-washy that thing. You're trying to follow Paul's teachings. That's very hard these days. That's a very tough thing. And people have never heard of it. Okay, so you've got to have some leaven get into that subject. Music. You can't just play any kind of music today. What's going on in church with the music? They're singing choruses. They're getting rid of hymns. And the music instruments that are coming in, it's becoming special, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's leavening. You've got your kids are growing up. They have no idea what your testimony is. You have no idea what's going on. They don't know anything about it. And you're going to tell them? I'm going to work on a sermon on the second generation Christians pretty soon. But they're not getting it. We're not. Who are we teaching this to? Still, this is all introduction here this morning. You know, when this bread, you get this leaven in there, that bread, it looks really good, doesn't it? It looks better than it really is. I mean, that's fluff. They fluffed it up with this gas, this worldly gas stuff. And as a result of that, it looks better. Well, here us Christians are. We're being leavened. We're being fluffed up by this worldly gas, this religious gas of, let's not push the King James Bible so much. Let's not, it can't really be that which is perfect, you know. And we can't stay away from here. If you're going to go participate in this thing, you can't dress like that. You got to dress like them. And the whole thing goes on and it goes on and it goes on. That's leaven. It's fluffing us up. It's making us lighter. And as a result, we're more pleasant to be around. Not that we need to be unpleasant to be around. That's not my point. They like you as a person, but they hate what you believe. And don't let yourself be tricked into thinking they're okay with you. They're not okay with you. If they are okay with you, there's something not okay with you. Does that make sense? Paul is not about getting along with everybody. Paul is about living a life of change. And the people notice those changes. And either they're going to get stirred towards hate. Why would they? Is this an amazing thing? You know, a guy turns into a Paul-following Christian. He goes down that stuff in Titus and Timothy, and he changes his life like that. Why would that make people mad? Why does it stir them up? Why would a father be upset when his daughter wants to dress better? Why would a husband be upset when his wife quiets down and learns her roles? Why do people get upset when they see marriages like that? Why is this amazing? Why does somebody get mad at somebody for wanting to cover up, quiet down, read the right materials, not sit behind a TV all day long, not buy a bunch of movies? And why do people get mad when you don't want to do that? Isn't that amazing? Well, that's the world. So when we think we're getting along with them, they're not giving in and liking you all of a sudden. You're changing. And what's changing us? Leaven. Little bit at a time. Now we get to the actual sermon. What are some of the, I got to thinking, what does the Bible say about being tricked little by little by little? Well, I just got a bunch of verses here. We'll just look at them, read them. Nothing has to be preached because we know them all. Nothing new here this morning. I've gone so fast here because of our time basis here, but have you, has it made sense so far? Get an amen or two out there. What's happening to us? We're mixing in and we're slipping back. Little by little. And here's the scary thing. We don't know it. Unless you're sticking in your Bible and you renew that spirit and the mind. We renew what we know we need to do right. When you get up in the morning, you remind yourself that this is what I'm going to stay covered. I'm not going to act like this. I'm going to go to work. I'm not going to be an idiot. I'm not going to be loud and mouthy. I'm going to do my job. All this kind of stuff. This is what we're supposed to be. When you're around your family, it doesn't mean you can be immodest around your family, mixed company. I don't understand that one. Anyway, the list goes on. Go through the sound doctrine list. What's happening to us? And we don't even know it. I imagine some folks out there are going to say, well, nothing's happening to me. But yes, something is happening to you. Unless you're standing in the book and you're turning your lives around, then yes, you're doing fine. But I'm afraid a lot of people are kind of slipping back here. So let's look at some verses here. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Look at Acts chapter 13. No, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's what I want. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know these spirit. You know these words, these verses. Nothing new here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're being seduced every day. We're being seduced every day. We're being seduced with the world. We're being seduced with the flesh. We're being seduced with our own flesh. That if you maybe take off a few things or take kind of thin them down or whatever, or act a little differently, men or whatever, that you'll have friends again. We're being seduced. We're being seduced. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 has a pretty serious word in there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth? So these guys knew the truth at one time, and somebody has bewitched them. Have you gone back on anything? Have you changed your opinion? Maybe that King James Bible isn't really that which is perfect. Is it possible? Could you ever get back off that thing? How about maybe your clothes? You kind of cut it. It's summertime. It's hot, you know. Maybe it's where you go. Well, I got to go to some of these places. I'm getting tired of being around. All these things. We're being bewitched. And who hath bewitched you? Who is it that's getting you to go backwards? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. You ever met another pastor? Well, I introduced as a pastor. 2 Corinthians 11, 15. When I see another pastor, you know what I think of? That guy is a minister of righteousness, and he's working for the devil, whether he knows it or not. If he's not teaching Paul, he's not teaching the King James Bible only, that guy is a minister of the devil. And I just can't buddy with the guy. I can talk to him, we can be there, whatever happens, but this guy is sending people to hell, he's lying to people, he's deceiving people, and he's of the devil. That's what the scriptures say. And we shouldn't be surprised. Look at verse 14. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So just because something is good, because something appears to be right, or there's a lot of gain involved, and so everybody must like it, must be a good thing. No, it's not. It better match up to Paul's scriptures, not the Gospels. Better match up to Paul's scriptures, not Hebrews to Peter and Jude. Better match up to Paul's teachings, not the Old Testament, not the Psalms. Got to match to Paul. If it doesn't, it's wrong. And that's just the way it is. And again, why are we accepting that stuff more and more and more? Romans 16, verse 18. Look at Romans 16, verse 18. All these are verses that tell us that we have to be alert, or we're gonna fall for these things here. Romans 16, verse 18. For they are such that serve serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, you don't have to be simple if you're a King James reader and Paul follower. You don't have to be simple. But if you're not into that stuff, you'll be deceived by good words and fair speeches. So that's good stuff. You're going to be going against things that are good. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. We got people out there that are full of wisdom. 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. See, you've got these educated people. You know what they don't know? They don't know God. They don't know the truth. They don't know these things. And so what's your point? My point is this. Does that bother us? The enemy, we're being seduced. We're being bewitched. We're being tricked if we're not careful. Good words, fair speeches. Somebody's getting us to go backwards. Somebody's getting us to not be happy. I know our own flesh fights the battles. Paul did too. Worldly wisdom is there. Vain words, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. In 2 Timothy 3:13, there's evil men and they're seducers, it says. They're seducers. It's a scary thing because, for example, Adriana, you're in a school. I'm in the same kind of, I'm in a school. And I see the deception. I see what they're teaching the children. It's wrong. It's just flat and wrong. I'm taking a couple courses on aggression. I'm taking a course on learning disabilities. And I've already heard some things. Let's see if I got them right here. Right here. They use the word homeschool now in their writings. Homeschool. Yeah, but it means the school relationship at the home, not homeschooling. But they're using that word. And they're concerned about the kids' social lives. And they talk about these disabilities. They're hidden. In other words, they have to use the school system to find out your disability. It's just an amazing thing. And it was kind of interesting because the guy that's teaching the course is from India. And that's Eastern religion kind of people. Here's Glenn Beck telling everybody in this country that we need to be good Christians, good Americans. We need to turn back to God. We need to have a stronger faith. The guy's a Mormon. You think he's preaching the truth? What's he going to get? He's going to get people faked out with this their spirit stuff, their faith, and they're going to go to hell. And how many people know that? He doesn't ever talk about his Mormon belief. But they accept the guy. They love the guy. Okay, we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It talks about people there that are blown about with the wind of doctrine. Are you solid on your Bible? Are you solid that King James Bible is the Word of God? It's perfect. It's complete. It's done. There's nothing else. The punctuation, the numbers, the commas, everything. Vitalized words are the ones God wants in there. You can fight about how it came about if you want. But bottom line, do you believe it to be the Word of God? If you do, do you rightly divide? Yes. Well, then do you live like a rightly divided Christian? Well, no. I don't have to. I got grace. Well, that's true. It's a different kind of time, isn't it? But we ought to. It's a reasonable thing, he says. Evil communication, what does it do? It corrupts good manners. Worldly wise, fair speech, what we got here? We go here, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So many things going on in my mind this morning. It's just a little distracting, whatever. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. Doesn't mean it is, it's just this is the way it'll be when Christ is coming. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they're coming falling away first. So we know that that's taking place. How can we participate with all these people, with all these things going on, and not think about these people? They're going to hell. They're not only just going to hell, they're living a life of deception. If there's Christians or judgment seat, it's just going to be horrible. Their testimony is terrible for their little kids. Do we just ignore this anymore? Have we lost it? I think we're losing it. I think we're tired of watching people be stirred, so we're the ones that are backing off. It's not like we're backing off from a street preaching mentality. Yeah, some of that stuff they need to back off. They're wrong. So, how does this happen? Leaven. The worldly gas is getting into us and we're just becoming fluffy Christians like everybody else. So, there you go this morning. I think I covered. The notes will have probably some more stuff in it, but there's a lot of good statements in there. Jesus went to the crowd, you know. And they said, he's a deceiver. Isn't that sad that we go into a crowd and we are the ones that are softening up, not them? You take your stand and you dress the way you're supposed to. You talk the way you're supposed to. And you don't do the things you're not supposed to do. And you, man, look at Titus and look at what it is to be sound doctrine. And you go towards that stuff. And you change your lives. We change our lives. And ladies, let's remember these two terms. Gentlemen. And ladies. We should be a gentleman at all times. Ladies should be ladies. Not women. Not guys. But ladies. And if you can't be a lady of what you're doing, then you probably shouldn't be doing what you're doing. We're in a politically correct world. When we stand with authoritative scriptures on something, that is not politically correct. When you try to do the right kind of music, that is not politically correct. When you try to dress right, that is not politically correct. When you don't go to some places, that is not politically correct. Well, I don't care. And I'll be friendly to people. I'll be friendly, not a problem. I'll talk to people, not a problem. I'm stirred by them. I'm bothered by them that they are so deceived and blinded that they are. And if I get a chance, I'll try to talk to them in time. Let the wisdom go here. But I want to make sure that I don't just quit. And just preach to preach, and, you know, people need to hear some about truth today. And remember what that famine is. It's hearing of the words of God. It's a hearing. So don't back off. Don't let this leaven slowly make you a fluffy Christian. Pillsbury Doughboy Christian. You know, a little fat, fluffy little critter that doesn't bother anybody. We don't need to be fat little Christians that doesn't bother somebody. Don't go out of your way to bother somebody, but who we are should bother people. family included. And if you're not careful, we're being deceived and slipping away. We don't even know it. So there you have it this morning.